After that, the Issachar had been left alone. It was almost a peaceful voyage. They had eaten well, cleaned and reloaded the weapons, done what they could about their wounds. Niels Rega swam in and out of lucidity, but the medical nanonic package clamped over his face was keeping him reasonably stable. Murphy could just about allow himself to believe they would return to Durringham. The placid river encouraged that kind of foolish thinking. As night fell at the end of the second day, he sat at the stern, holding on to the tiller they had fixed up, and doing his best to keep the boat in the centre of the river. At least with this job he didn't have to use his leg with his achingly stiff knee, though his left hand was incapable of gripping the tiller pole. The clammy air from the water made his fatigues uncomfortably sticky. He saw Louis Beath making his way aft carrying a flask. A medical nanonic package made a broad bracelet around his arm where Jacqueline Couture had broken the bone, and it glimmered dimly in the infrared spectrum. "Brought you some juice," Louis said. "Straight out of the Syro." "Thanks." Murphy took the mug he held out. With his retinal implants switched to infrared, the liquid he poured from the flask was a blue so deep it was nearly black. "Niels is talking to his demons again," Louis said quietly. "Not much we can do about it, short of loading a somnolence program into his neural nanonics." "Yeah, but Lieutenant, what he says, it's like for real, you know? I thought people hallucinating didn't make any sense. He's even got me looking over my shoulder." Murphy took a swallow of the juice. It was freezing, numbing the back of his throat. Just perfect. "It bothers you that bad? I could put him under, I suppose." "No, not bad. It's just kind of spooky, what with everything we saw and all." "I think that electronic warfare gimmick the hostiles have affects our neural nanonics more than we like to admit." "Yeah?" Louis brightened. "Maybe you're right." He stood with his hands on his hips, staring ahead to the west. "Man, that is some meteorite shower. I ain't never seen one that good before." Murphy looked up into the cloudless night sky. High above the Issachar's prow, the stars were tumbling down from their fixed constellations. There was a long, broad slash of them scintillating and flashing. He actually smiled, they looked so picturesque. And the hazy slash was still growing as more of them hit the atmosphere racing eastwards. It must be a prodigious swarm gliding in from interplanetary space, the remains of some burnt-out comet that had disintegrated centuries ago. The meteorites furthest away were developing huge contrails as they sizzled their way downwards. They were certainly penetrating the atmosphere a long way, tens of kilometres at least. Murphy's smile bled away. "Oh, my God," he said in a tiny, dry voice. "What?" Louis asked happily. "Isn't that something smooth? Wow, I could look at that all night long." "They're not meteorites." "What?" "They're not meteorites. Shit." Louis looked at him in alarm. "They're bloody kinetic harpoons." Murphy started to run forwards as fast as his knee would allow. "Secure yourself," he shouted. "Grab something and hold on. They're coming down right on top of us." The sky was turning to day overhead, blackness flushed away by a spreading stain of azure blue. The contrails to the west were becoming too bright to look at. They seemed to be lengthening at a terrific rate, cracks of sunlight splitting open across the wall of night. Kinetic harpoons were the Confederation Navy's standard tactical, non-radioactive planetary surface assault weapon. A solid splinter of toughened, heat-resistant composite, half a meter long, needle-sharp, guided by a cruciform tail, steered by a processor with pre-programmed flight vector. They carried no explosives, no energy charge. They destroyed their target through speed alone. Ilex accelerated in towards Lalonde at 8 G's, following a precise hyperbolic trajectory. The apex was reached 1,200 kilometres above Amerisk, 200 kilometres east of Durringham. 5,000 harpoons were expelled from the Voidhawk's weapons cradles, hurtling towards the night-masked continent below. Ilex inverted the direction of its distortion field's acceleration wave, fighting Lalonde's gravity. Stretched out on their couches, the crew raged impotently against the appalling G-force, nonic supplement membranes turning rigid to hold soft, weak human bodies together as the Void Hawk dived away from the planet.